It is great to be with you. My name is Rabbi Ken Brodkin. You are listening to Torah and Today. And on this podcast, you can expect weekly wisdom as we explore how the Torah guides our lives today in modern times. A couple weeks ago, I referenced the phenomenon of dinks, which refers to young married couples who identify as double income, no kids. Since then, my family celebrated a wedding, and it's remarkable how we Jews promote, advance, celebrate the Jewish home in every generation. In the broader culture, a married couple might feel that having a child will impinge on their relationship. And yet the opposite is true. When a couple is fortunate enough to have a child, they work as partners to raise that child, and they become more united as they do so. The Torah says that a man shall cling to his wife, and they become one flesh. V'davak b'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad. Rashi remarks that basar echad, one flesh, is their offspring. Through their child, husband and wife become more unified in their lives, in their path. However, not everyone finds the Bashart so easily. Someone in the congregation recently shared with me that neither of their children married. In this past week, I connected with a woman I knew earlier in life who got engaged after seeking her Bashart, who she's now engaged to, for over a decade she was looking. And even if someone merits to find their zivug, even if someone gets married, not everyone merits to have children. For some people, conception is a miracle that is out of reach. And so people who are looking for, who are lacking a spouse or children, can feel isolated in our Jewish community. During these weeks, we're reading the Parshiot of Tazria and Metzora, which discuss the various forms of tuma, impurity, that can afflict a person. And the Torah describes the isolation of the Metzora as they are tested for the affliction. Kol yamei asher hanegabo yitma. All the days of his affliction is upon him, he shall remain contaminated. Tamehu badad yeshev mukhutz l'machana moshavo. He shall dwell in isolation. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now these verses speak about a person afflicted with the malady of tsaras, a type of eruption on the skin. And yet, this verse could well be speaking about the person who is single in the frum community, in the Jewish community, or the childless couple. A person who lacks that family structure might feel that they are dwelling outside the camp. After my daughter got married, we shared some pictures on social media. And as we shared our simcha, I thought about many singles who want to be celebrating the start of their own family. Our machana, our Jewish camp, is defined so much by family and children. At this very time, many of us are cleaning our homes, of course, for Pesach, preparing. The night of Pesach is a pinnacle of the Jewish year, when families come together with spouse, parents, children, relatives. The chag is just built around Jewish families, making Seder, much like we brought the Korban Pesach as families and neighbors when we had the Passover sacrifice. We can reflect then on what it must feel like to be that person who spends a chag by themselves or who is always looking for a place for Shabbos meals. This past week, someone forwarded me a column from the Five Towns Jewish Times. I'm not a subscriber, but it was a column on the topic of singlehood. And the column contained a question from a woman who regularly hosts single men and women at their Shabbos table. And the person wonders if it's even a good idea to host these singles. If singles know they have a place to go for meals, she reasons, they'll be less motivated to date and get married. Recently, her husband has gone out of his way to make singles feel uncomfortable. That's right, because as the meal begins, he'll ask each person at the table when their last date was. And this is meant as kind of a veiled rebuke, a bit of musar, reprimand, reminding the guests to get going with their dating. The questioner lamented that the efforts were ineffective. Should she continue to host these guests, she wondered. Now, the column's answer was a little more on target than the question. People who want to get married or have children do not need to be reminded of their predicament, the writer explained. On the contrary, people who are alone find that their aloneness is a great burden, and reminding some of their difficulty conveys a lack of dignity, a lack of sensitivity to their situation. The Torah commands us in many mitzvot regarding kavod, human dignity, and these obligations apply to all people, be they single, married, widowed, divorced, a parent, or childless. So the answer to the questioner is obvious. Of course you should host singles, but treat them with dignity. Don't chastise people for their troubles. Just be a friend and a resource. A deeper question, though, is this. When someone goes through this predicament, they know it, and they might feel ostracized or at least isolated from the Jewish community. How do we help that person to connect? What is their source as well of comfort if they're lacking the family they desire? And of course, this is not a new question. In fact, the Navi, the prophet Yeshayahu, spoke about this specific issue. The Navi in chapter 55 of Isaiah praises those who hold strong unto God. Specifically, he praises those who guard the Shabbos against desecration and guards their hands from doing evil. But then the prophet puts words into the mouth of those that might feel like they are dwelling outside the camp. Ha'al yomar ben hanecha harnil v'al Hashem lemor. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself unto God speak, saying, Havdel yavdilani Hashem mi'alamo. God will utterly separate me from his people. Va'al yomar hasaris hein ani etz yavesh. Let not the barren one say, Behold, I am a withered tree. In other words, the person who is without family, the foreigner, or the one without children, will tend to think that they're separated from God, destined to a barren future. They are the proverbial fruitless tree. They should not think this way, says the prophet. Those who uphold Hashem's covenant, especially Shabbos, will be given a yad v'shem. Nasati lahem bebesi, I will give to them in my home, b'chom osai, within my walls, yad v'shem, a hand and a name, tov mibanim u'banos, an inheritance that is greater than sons and daughters. The implication is that while the foreigner or the childless might feel denigrated, they might feel chutz l'machane, outside the camp, in reality, God says that they are honored. They are within my home and not outside of the camp. Now, there is no question that building family is a pursuit the Torah holds in high esteem. At the beginning of Tazria, the Torah outlines the Tuma, impurity laws of the Yoledes, a woman who gives birth. And these laws sequentially follow the purity and impurity laws for vessels and animals. And Rashi draws a parallel between this section of Vayikra, Leviticus, and the creation story in Bereishis, Genesis. Just as the creation of Adam, man, came after the creation of the animal world, it followed the animal, so too the laws of human purity and impurity follow the laws of impurity and purity for the animal world. The human being is a crown of creation, the purpose of the universe. And that's why we human beings come at the conclusion, both in the creation story and in the Tuma and Tahara laws. Our sages remark that when a baby is born, Shlosha Shutfin Ba'adam, there's three partners in Yetziras Adam, the creation of a person. The father and the mother create the body, and God infuses that body with a soul. The presence of these three partners underscores the loftiness of a human life. Now, of course, our Jewish community pursues marriage and children. The Jewish family is a foundation of our society. But Judaism also sees every person, each individual, as a servant of God in their own right. And that's a perspective we need to hold on to. One of the ways that we can help to advance that is by being mindful that showing kavod, honor and dignity, is something that applies to all people, whatever their familiar situation might be. In these parshios, in these weeks, we delve into the laws of Tzaras, and the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, in the Mishneh Torah, he elaborates on the connection between the Tzaras affliction and the prohibition against Lashon Hara, gossip. Miriam was stricken with Tzaras when she spoke against Moshe, and we're warned to remember this episode in the following language. Hishamer b'nega tzaras. guard yourself from the plague of Tsaras. Zachor, remember, Esa Sherasah Hashem Elokecha Miriam. Remember what God did unto Miriam. Tsaras was once upon a time a supernatural phenomenon whereby a person could contract a skin eruption for speaking Lashon Hara. And when a person isolates others, they too are punished with isolation. And in any case, the message here is that showing dignity and honor to others is paramount. Speaking Lashon Hara has the potential to isolate people from the community and undermine their dignity. We strive to be honorable, to honor others. Ezu mechuba namechabidus abrios. Who is honorable? He who honors his fellow creatures. People who show honor to others are in touch with true honor. God's presence they are in touch with in our world and in one another. Now, during Nisan, we focus on the physical preparation for the Chag of Pesach. But the Torah also gives us the opportunity to connect with the honor of people. Indeed, the laws of Pesach and Shulchan Aruch open with the requirement to help the poor. We give funds to the poor so that the destitute will have wine and matzah at the Seder with a dignified Pesach. But in addition to that, we also do not let the poor eat alone. The Seder, the Haggadah, opens with the words, Kol dechvin yesi v'echol, kol detzrich yesi v'yifsach, all who are needy, come and make Pesach. When the Jewish people were commanded to bring the Pesach, we came as chaburos, as groups, designated groups. Families would gather together for the korban, for the sacrifice, and friends and neighbors would join along. And to this day, we gather as chaburos, we gather as groups for the Pesach Seder in Jewish homes around the world. And of course, Pesach is a huge opportunity in the Jewish year. It's a time to consider how we can grow in our own personal emunah, our faith, our own freedom. It's also a time when we can consider how to bring more people around the table. It's easy to ignore the potential contribution, for example, of singles to the community. And inviting people of diverse familial situations to contribute to the Jewish community is of paramount importance. Jewish organizations should consider how can we get Jews in a variety of life circumstances to make a contribution. Sometimes it's specifically the person who is divorced or the childless who has a unique perspective that the Klal might benefit from. And so together, we all make up the Jewish people, regardless of our personal situation. And if we hold fast to God's covenant, we will all behold inheritance that the prophet promised us, an inheritance that is tov mibanim ubanot, that is greater than sons and daughters. Thanks for being with me. I'm Rabbi Ken Brodkin, and you're listening to Torah and Today.